Well, it's good to be with you again this week. This week, we're actually going to finish this section of the website we call it articles. If you go to the homepage of the website, garycarpenter.org, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a button that says articles. And on that page, there's a series of articles that's only been there in written form for a long time. And then a few months ago, the Lord gave me the instruction. He wanted me to teach those again in a modern format, is the way he put it. So now we have it available in MP3. It's available in on YouTube, Rumble, and, MP4s, basically. And you can download it and have it yourself if you want it. Now, today, we're actually finishing the last teaching in the second section. And I feel an unction from the Lord. This is probably going to be the last lesson in this series for a while. We're about to start the beginning of a new year, and I feel the stirrings of the Spirit. He's got some things he wants to say. 2024 is going to be a very important year. Of course, they're all important, but all I can tell you is I just work here. My job is to do what I'm told. And so I just know this is going to be the last lesson on this topic for a little while. He may have me come back and teach more on it later. We'll see. But the title of today's lesson is The Change of Covenant. And it is so vitally important. I was reading this lesson again this morning. It's amazing how, as I've gone through these from roughly 20 years ago, I've hardly changed a word. I've found a few people have helped me with a few spelling errors and add a comma here, take a comma out there, that type of thing. But the truth is the truth, and it doesn't change. And it's amazing to me. The same truth then, of course, is the same truth now. But we're talking about the change of covenant. We know we're in a different covenant. In Hebrews, it talks about, because the big danger to the first century Jewish Christians, they were being persecuted so strong. And the persecution was designed to make them go back to the law. And the writer of Hebrews at one point says, he taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. The point of the writer of Hebrews is, listen, Jewish Christians, there is no first covenant to go back to. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. But we are definitely in the second covenant. So this lesson today, I just love how the Lord timelessly illustrates things with pictures, that parables, things we can see that we can understand. And that truth is eternal down through time. So, in order to understand the ministry of Jesus Christ as revealed in the four Gospels, we must remember what he said he was doing. You know, what did he say he was doing? In Luke 16:16, he says this, the law and the prophets were until John. He's talking about John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. From the time that Jesus was baptized by John until he was glorified at his resurrection, his ministry on earth was in a unique time period between the two covenants of law and grace. Jesus is teaching, preaching, and demonstrating to the people the kingdom of God and how it is to be different from the dispensation of the law. They're two different things. Now, in the old covenant, as we know, this is... This is Gospel 101 here. This is real basic. But we all know that under the old covenant, the people themselves could not be born again. They did not have the life of God in their spirit. They were all born with what we call the Adamic nature. The same spirit we're all born with from our mother's womb. We're all born with what the Bible calls the spirit of the world. It's the fallen nature that came into Adam when he and Eve sinned. And that nature is passed down to everybody born on planet Earth. But they had no opportunity under the law to be born again. We do. And that's why the change of covenant. So they didn't, but you got to understand, the people under the first covenant, God's dealing with a group of people that have the sin nature in them. And so they did not have the life of God in their spirit. For the common man, the normal, you know, what Dave would call Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, good people, but, you know, just normal people, for them to be able to hear God, normally they had to go to the prophet, the priest, or hear the law read by the scribes. Remember, people then didn't have their own Bibles at home. Now, being dead in spirit, God could, that person could not hear God directly from himself on a daily basis. I found another typo. Small thing. Capitalized where it shouldn't be. Now, under the old covenant, the people prospered. Now, so God's dealing with a spiritually dead people, but he wants to protect them. He wants to be their provider, their healer. It's so important that he preserve this nation, because it's through this nation eventually that the seed will come, that Jesus Christ will be born. How do you deal with this spiritually dead people when you're a holy God, you know? So under that old covenant, the people, he dealt with them pretty much like parents deal with their children when they're real little. Clean up your room. If you do what I tell you, it will be well with you. If you don't do what I tell you, there could be punishment. Well, under the old covenant, it's called blessing and cursing. So under that old covenant, the first covenant where God is dealing with his spiritually dead people, the people prospered, they were blessed, by keeping the formulas of the law. Somebody counted them. I wish I remembered it, but I know there's over 600 laws, 600 formulas under that first covenant. Okay. If they disobeyed the formula, you could say commandment, they were cursed, you know. You didn't clean up your room? Oh, okay. But if they obeyed the formulas, they were blessed. Oh, you cleaned up your room. Here, have an ice cream cone. Now, such was the case. You got to understand this rich young ruler. We're going to read the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. This is the only covenant he's ever known. If you keep the law, you're blessed. If you disobey the law, you're cursed. All right? So let's read Matthew's account, Matthew 19, verses 16 through 24. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Like which ones? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, Well, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, I need to pause just for a moment and say this. Jesus did not rebuke him for being a liar. You liar, you haven't kept these. Now, nobody was perfect. You know, we know the Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the system was, you did your, under that covenant, you did your best to keep the law. And if you broke a commandment, if you sinned, then there was sacrifices. You know, you'd bring this or you'd bring that. You'd offer it to God. And it was all pointing to the cross, that one day that the Lamb of God would come and shed his blood for our sins. But if you followed that system, even if you sinned, but if you brought the appropriate sacrifice, then as far as the law was concerned, you weren't guilty. You kept it. Okay. So what lack I yet? Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, Well, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, What? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, stop again. Why did he have great possessions? He kept the law. or he did his best under that system. He was a, you know, one of these says the Lord looked at him and loved him. The Lord wasn't upset with him. This man is working hard to keep the law. It's the only covenant he's ever known. And under that covenant, if you keep the law, you get blessed, you know. And if you don't keep it, you get cursed. So he'd done his best to keep the law. All right. But now Jesus is giving him, you'll never find this in the law. And if you look it up, you'll find if you look it up in all four Gospels and then check out the Greek words, he really told him, you sell all that you have. Sell everything. Liquidate. Give it all to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Now, by the way, Jesus didn't say come and follow me to just everybody. Some have speculated that this young man might would have been a good candidate to replace Judas, but that's pure speculation. I have no idea if that's true or not. But anyway, let's read verse 22 again. But when the young man heard that saying, sell all you have, give to the poor, come and follow me, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. We've got to stop for today's lesson. All right. This young man had become wealthy by formula, not by relationship. What I mean by that, he kept the law. You know, he would go to the synagogue, he'd hear the law read by the priests and those that were allowed to teach the law. And so he would hear and he would obey. He would hear and he would obey, but it was based on formula, not relationship. That is, he kept all these things from his youth, and God, true to his covenant, had blessed the man materially. That was the covenant. You keep the law, you'll be blessed. If you break the law, you'll be cursed. So under that system, that formula of the law, the man's mindset was like this. Well, 10% of my income is the Lord's under the law. That was the case. The Lord plainly said the tithe is mine. So his mindset is, well, 10% of my income is the Lord's, and 90% of it is mine to do with as I will. And under the law, that was accurate. But see, Jesus is now introducing the kingdom of God. He's not teaching the law. This is a whole new dispensation. He is informing this wealthy young ruler that the formulas of the law are now going to be replaced with a living relationship with God on an individual, person by person basis. Now look at this scene. For the first time in his life, now remember, this man is still spiritually dead, okay? Jesus loved him. He has kept the covenant that God established with spiritually dead people. He's done his best to keep the law, and if he broke it, he'd bring the sacrifice. Otherwise, he couldn't say that he'd kept it. Jesus didn't rebuke him as a liar, okay? You've done the system of the law. But he's never heard God for himself. See, that's the thing. Under that system, being spiritually dead, you had to go to the prophet, the king, and sometimes the priest in order to hear anything personal from God. The formula is for everybody, see. But now, get this scene. See, we're seeing a change of covenant right here. For the first time in his life, this rich young ruler, he is hearing the voice of the Lord himself. There's the Lord. There's the rich young ruler. And he's not going to the priest. He's not going to the king. He's not going to the prophet. He is in direct fellowship, one-on-one, between himself and the Lord. And he's hearing for the first time in his life the voice of the Lord, an instruction directly to him. Not by formula to everybody, an instruction directly to him. He's not hearing the voice of the temple scribes as they read from the law, nor the priests, nor the prophets of the day. No, he is now hearing the voice of the Lord for himself. Not only that, but he is able to communicate back with the Lord also. Two-way communication between this, just this man. He's not a prophet. He's not a king. Just a, as Dave would say, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper believer. Well, this is Joe Public. He's a guy. And he can not only hear from the Lord, he can talk, he can answer back and have a communication, a two-way communication. This is different. It wasn't this way under the law. Now, two-way communication between man and the Lord of heaven on earth. Wow. This is how it is to be in the kingdom. Jesus is demonstrating how the kingdom of God is to work, how it's to function, and how it's different from the system of the law. Every born-again man and woman, being alive in spirit, and I'm talking those that are born again in this new covenant, will now be able to hear the Lord directly by the assistance and fellowship, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit. That word koinonia is a Greek word, and it's the word you would use for fellowship with your best friend. You have your best friend over, and you're going to just talk. Koinonia, fellowship, you know. That's how it's to be. But the Holy Spirit, I love to say this, he'd not come to replace the Lord. The Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Whew, man. So in the kingdom of God, man is no longer really to function by formula. I still get questions. Well, in early days, I had the same questions myself. But I still get the same questions all the time. Well, should I tithe? Should I not tithe? Should I this? Should I that? And I always tell them, well, use the patterns that you see in the Old Testament until you can hear from the Lord for yourself. But now, especially if you're called to the ministry of finances, if you're called to be a gospel entrepreneur especially, or if you're called to be a steward, a real steward, we're all stewards at a certain level of the Lord. See, yes, sir. Okay, let me go. Okay. Now, after all these years, I've been at this a long time. I will tell you plainly, I don't hear from the Lord every week to give 10% of our income to the family prayer center. I would have to hear from him to do something different. That is the pattern established. Somebody said one time, you know, you're waiting for a phone call from the Lord. He already sent you a letter. There is some truth to that. I know that the expenses of any church is weekly. They're regular. The electric bill's got to be paid. The phone. Did you know that the phone company does not care that I'm a full-time minister? Do you know they want me to pay my bill every month? Same with the electric and the water and the gas and even the trash pickup guys. I mean, you know, well, the expenses of any ministry is regular, and there's patterns that God gave us. I understand, you know, I am going to send 10% of whatever we get to my church, which is the Family Prayer Center. To me, it's the mothership, and it's still doing the work of the ministry. Now, what I listen for is his voice concerning virtually everything else. I felt a check right there. I want to be transparent and I want to help. I received instructions years ago to support certain ministries. I'm not going to name any of them because he would probably have you support different ones. But there's an evangelistic outreach that we support every month. It's a set amount of money. There is an orphanage that we support every month. It's not a lot, but it's regular. And if everybody does that, they'll be okay, you know. But there's an orphanage overseas. In fact, there's two orphanages overseas. And we support both of those. There's an outreach in another country, evangelistic outreach. In other words, I followed the instructions years ago to send this every month, and we're going to continue doing that unless he gives me some different instruction. You know, if you don't hear something different, you keep doing what he told you. That's not rocket science. Okay. If I keep talking, we'll never get through the lesson. And today's, we've got to get this one all in today. See, I'm 20 minutes in. Okay. Let me read this prayer. Okay. Every born-again person in this new covenant, because they are alive now in their spirit, they can now hear the Lord directly by the assistance of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit was sent to bring you the Lordship of Jesus Christ. See, in the kingdom of God, man is to no longer really function by formula, although there are certain patterns that we follow, and I just talked about that. But see, man is now to function by relationship. The Lord speaks, you hear him for yourself. Just like with the rich young ruler, you can speak to the Lord. If you don't understand, you can ask questions to make sure you understood the instructions, you know. But once you understand, however, the only question remaining, will you or will you not obey him? Now see, this is a radical change of covenant indeed. This rich young ruler never heard of anything like this. I just followed the formulas before. And look, I got rich. God, I did my part. God did his part. He blessed me. That's a great system. I think I'll stick with it. But see, there's no telling what the Lord had in mind for this rich young ruler. Had he followed the Lord's instructions? Oh my goodness. Oh, we'd be reading anyway. Pure speculation again. See, Jesus, I love this because he is instructing this rich young man that no longer is he to follow a formula like, well, 90% belongs to me and 90% belongs to God. No, in the kingdom of God, see, you are bought with a price. Your life is not your own. Your life belongs to the Lord, including all of your material possessions if he asked for them, which he did here. Now, this was too much for the young man to accept, and I don't think that surprised the Lord at all, you know. Even though he was hearing directly for the first time in his life, God, please get that, for the first time in this young man's life, he's not hearing the Lord secondhand through a priest, through a prophet, through a king, through somebody, even a scribe reading the law. He is hearing from the Lord directly, okay. He is hearing the word of the Lord to him, personal. But he could not bring himself to obey what he heard. See, I tell everyone, there's two prices, you know. I mean, there's first, you got to pay the price to be able to hear him. To be honest with you, that's the easier part. The second part is pay the price to mortify the deeds of the body. Or we could say mortify the flesh to where you're dead enough to obey what you hear. Well, in this case, he heard, didn't he? He heard, because the Lord's standing right there. He heard, but he was not mortified enough to obey. See, this man was to be, the fact that he couldn't obey the Lord, that was really pretty much to be expected at that point. Because Jesus is teaching and preaching the kingdom of God, but the new birth is not yet available to man. This rich young ruler still had the selfish nature of Adam on the inside of him, as did everybody born of woman prior to the new birth experience being made available. Turn the page. It was for that very reason that God gave Israel the law in the first place, to govern them by penalty of the flesh, since they could not serve God out of a new nature. At this point, let me quote, because we're getting into some stuff here now. Let me quote again the foundational statement the Lord gave me way back in 1997 when he first started introducing these concepts that I've been teaching in this section concerning going from sharecropper to sonship faith. Here's what he said to me word for word. And to me, had you been there, I think it would have been, you might have heard it. To me, it was audible. It's just as clear as you hear in my voice right now. He said, quote, sowing and reaping is sharecropper faith. It is a valid level of faith to operate in. Most people will never graduate from it. It has sustained my church to this hour, but will never cause the massive transfer of wealth that shall be required to fuel the combines of revival that will occur in these last days. What I desire is sonship faith, where you know that you actually own the very fields you're working in. You are not a sharecropper in the kingdom of God. You are a son, and all that is mine is thine. Oh, I hope you've listened to these previous lessons where we've gone over that last statement. You know, the father in the story of the prodigal son, the father said that very thing to the elder son who he was clueless. And then Jesus said, all that the father has is mine. Well, obviously, Jesus says, all that the father has is mine. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it unto you. Well, why is that? Because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I better stick with the pages here. Wow. Preach for a month right there. See, when the Lord said that to me, this was one of those instances where to me, his voice was so clear. If you'd have been there, I don't know. You might would have heard it too. I really don't know. But of course, I grabbed my microphone and my recorder as soon as I saw what was going on, and I recorded what he said to me. Thank God I did. See, and I understood the words, but I had never heard anything like that before in my life. That was the first time I'd ever heard it. See, that was on the before side of all these lessons that I've been teaching. He said that to me first. See? And to be honest, it was many more months of worship and prayer and meditation and doing what Dave taught us on distinguishing God's voice before that vision came where he gave me the analogy of my grandfather's farm. But once that came, then I began to understand what he was saying to me. And you can review all of these lessons I've taught. Everything we've taught up until now really has been from that foundation. Now, as my understanding of these things have grown over time, I've been at this a long time. It's been over 20 years since he said that to me. As my understanding of these things has increased over time by precept and by practical experience, I'm beginning to comprehend why he said most people will never graduate from the old sowing and reaping formulas. And there's two primary reasons why. I didn't understand it then, but I've seen it over and over again now. Most people will never pay the price. And there's two prices really to be paid. Number one, develop their ability to hear the voice of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. It took time. I'm going to refer you all the way back to Pastor Dave Roberson's two-part message, Distinguishing God's Voice. I heard that, and literally it's the most practical instruction on for you to be able to start hearing the voice of the Lord for yourself in the same way. I mean, this rich young ruler had the Lord in his physical body standing right there talking to him. Well, the Lord in his physical body is seated, it's glorified now, but he himself is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. You don't have him on planet Earth to talk to him the same way, but he's still talking. And he's still your individual Lord with instructions for you personally. But how you hear him now is by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Well, Gary, I want to hear him that way. Get Dave's two-part series, Distinguishing God's Voice. Listen to it. I just about wore those out. But then I did it and I practiced it. Days and then weeks and then months until it began to work for me. But there's a price to pay. Yeah, there's a price. But that's step number one. Get yourself to the place where you can hear God. Okay? Number two, and to be honest with you, step one's the easy part. Comparatively. I don't mean it was easy. It took me months. But the second part is to mortify greed and self-serving to the point you yourself become a first-class steward of kingdom finances. This is really going back to Luke 17 verses 1 through 10, especially the latter part where he says, consider yourself just to be my servant and you're an unprofitable servant, meaning you're doing what is your duty to do. You're doing what I told you, and you're not in it for personal profit. See, until that motive of personal profit dies in you, it's got to be mortified. And I'm telling you, the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says, not money itself, but the love of it. Boy, that love thing has got tentacles that go deep, and it takes a while. I'm still not sure if every tentacle is gone, but boy, it's in myself, it's a lot different than it was, is all I can tell you. Now, but there's a price to be paid there, see. Now, in the rich young ruler's case, because he was alive during this unique time period that Jesus was on earth, between the law and the introduction or the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth, that 3.5 years, that unique period of time where he's preaching the kingdom, even though it's not really available to most people yet, because they can't, well, I mean, is they can't be born again yet. They can receive miracles. They can receive healing. Anyway, I think you understand what I mean. Because this rich young ruler was alive during that unique 3.5 year period, he was able to hear the Lord directly because the Lord was standing right there in his physical body. But see, still having, so that's part one. He's hearing the Lord, but he didn't have to pay a price. He just happened to be alive during that time period, but he's hearing the Lord. That's step one, right? He is hearing the instruction of the Lord. But notice, he still had that old selfish Adam-like nature on the inside of him, fallen man. He could not bring himself to obey those instructions if they did not profit him personally. Always before, under the first covenant, if I obey, I get blessed. And here he's saying, I want you to obey by giving everything away. The old nature is greedy and self-serving to the core. And right away it's going, and I don't see any blessing in this for me. I'm walking away. I'm going away sorrowful, but I'm walking away. And the Lord looked on him and loved him. He understood he was not born again yet. It's important to take notice that Jesus does not give this same instruction to everybody. Please notice that. For example, Jesus did not give those same instructions to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. You remember when, you know, Zacchaeus climbed the tree to see Jesus, and Jesus wanted to come to his house, and he goes in and has supper with Zacchaeus, and we're not told exactly what was spoken, but we can tell the context of it, because when it's over, Zacchaeus says, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I've stolen from any man, I'm going to restore it so many times, and all of this stuff, you know, so there's definite repentance. But it's obvious Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus, sell everything you have and give to the poor, but he did to this guy. See, it's not formula anymore. You gotta hear from the Lord yourself. And that's it's what's scary and wonderful all at the same time about this new covenant. You can hear him for yourself, okay? What's the lesson to be learned when you look at the instruction he gave to the rich young ruler, sell everything, and then whatever that conversation was, and the instructions to Zacchaeus, well, he gave half his goods to the poor. What's the lesson to be learned? Our Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well. He does not have one formula to be followed by everybody. Now, certain things are for, listen, foundational things. Adultery, you do not commit adultery, that's for everybody. You do not lie, that's for everybody. You understand? There's the righteousness of God does not change, okay? We're talking about your instructions in this life, what he wants you to do, where he wants you to go, what he wants you to give, and who he wants you to give it to, okay? We have a living Lord who speaks from heaven. And we, all of us who are born again, have the ability to hear what he says as long as we stay in communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, it's better for you that I go away. Part of us goes, what? It'd be better for you. No, it'd be better for us if you stayed, Lord. But see, what he meant was he could only be in one, as long as he was in his own physical body, just that one human body, he could only be in one place at one time. But now, by the agency of the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He can bring the Lordship of Jesus to each and every believer, every moment of the day, anywhere on planet Earth, all at the same time. The closest thing we would have to it is be a massive email list, you know. But everybody gets their own individual email. It's not a mass email that goes, you know, same words to everybody. No, that's the law. Now, this is individual email. And you all get your own email every day, and it's personal, from Jesus to, hello, Joe believer. This is your instruction from the Lord. But it comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's probably the closest analogy I could give to it. Now, see, another example of this truth is when Jesus told Peter that he was going to be a martyr for the gospel's sake. If you want to read that, it's in John 21, verses 18 through 19. So he's telling Peter plainly, the day's going to come, Peter, when you're going to be killed. You're going to be martyred for my name's sake. The natural response is exactly what Peter did. He saw John. He said, what about John? I'm going to be a martyr. I'm going to die. What about John? John was right over there. He was wondering if John would also be required to be a martyr, see? But it's not formula anymore, is it? Jesus' answer demonstrates for all time that in this dispensation of grace, each man is to follow Jesus based on his personal relationship with him and not by some common formula. John 21:22 says this, Jesus' answer when Peter asked the question, what about John? He says, if it's my will, that he tarry, that he remains, till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Boy, there it is. There it is. It's none your business. Peter, it's none your business what my plan is for John. I'm going to talk to John about my plan for John. He's going to follow me based on what I tell him. What I tell John, Peter, has got nothing to do with you. You're going to follow me based on what I tell you. Boy, what a different covenant. Rich young ruler, people under the law, this was not how they followed God. They followed God by formula. You want to know what God's saying? Oh, you got to go and hear the law read by somebody, because you can't hear God for yourself. No wonder he said, it's better for you that I go away, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. But we have the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. In the most simple terms, the truly anointed steward of kingdom finances is the Lord's hand in the earth. We've taught on this before. Okay. My hand is supposed to obey my brain. I'm the head. This is the hand. My hand, if I want to give money, the instruction goes out. I don't actually say these words, but it's communicated. My hand gets it. Reach into my wallet, get $10 and give it to Joe Blow over here. Okay? Hand. And if my hand obeys me, we got it going on. That's the way it's supposed to work. See, but the kingdom steward, the steward of kingdom finances is the Lord's hand. He speaks to you. You reach into your wallet. You give $100 million or $5, whatever it is. And you do with it, you give it, you wherever he says, to whoever he says. You're the hand. But just as your physical hand is supposed to receive instructions from your mind, just like I illustrated, so the kingdom finance steward is to receive his instructions from the mind of Christ, because Christ is the head of the church. Now, I'm talking about his present hour speaking, see, to the hand today. You know, you'd think there's something entirely wrong, terribly wrong with your hand. If it's just on its own started opening up your wallet and passing out money to people that you never instructed it to give money to. Said another way, we'd think it's absolutely bizarre if our physical hand just started reaching into our wallet and passing out money by some kind of formula, completely independent from the instructions of my mind, you know, we'd think, what's wrong with my hand? I mean, here it is. It's just reaching into my wallet. It's giving $20 there, $10 there, $30 there, you know? And I never told you to, hand, what's wrong with you? I never told you to do that. What would be the conclusion? What would the mind, if you see your hand operating like that? Well, one thing's for sure, I can't trust this hand with money. I'm going to have to make sure there's not much money in that wallet, or my hand is just going to, it's just going to do what it wants. It's not going to listen to me, see? To some people, that example may seem very simplistic, but it's entirely accurate. None of us would trust wealth to a hand that operated independently of our brain, would we? One of the primary reasons there are not more anointed stewards of kingdom finances in the body of Christ is our dogged refusal to abandon all formulas and function by relationship with our head, Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier that most people will never graduate from sowing and reaping, and the reason they won't is they won't pay the price. And we talked about the two-part price. First, come to the place where you can hear the Lord. Second, mortify the flesh enough to where you can obey the Lord. Okay? Well, why? What causes them not to pay the price? What is that price? In a single word, the price is time. It's time. As with all good relationships, time spent in fellowship is required to have a good one. To develop the ability to hear accurately the mind of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, time is going to be required. In worship, meditation of the word, and prayer, and I should have added fasting here, This will mean giving up some activities. What? Not because they're necessarily evil or wicked or sinful, but simply because they take too much time. Precious time that could otherwise be used developing an ear that is sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Secondly, prayer and fasting are the two primary ways given for mortification of the flesh, the putting to death of greed and self-serving within us. See, this brings us all the way, full circle, back around to Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, brethren, therefore, man, everything that I've said to you up to this point, there, because of everything I said, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And in this short lesson, let me just recommend something to you. If you have not heard the Born Again Trail series by Pastor Dave Roberson, you don't have anything else to do. There's not very many people on planet Earth that understand verses 12 through 14. Ultimately, it is talking about getting to the place where you can be led by the Holy Spirit. But see, really, the context here, the first step, if you're ever going to be led by the Holy Spirit himself, first you've got to learn to be led by the new nature that he gave you when you were born again. And that's only going to happen as you mortify the deeds of the body. Because the new nature is going to say, you're not allowed to steal anymore. And maybe you've made your living stealing your whole life. And you don't know any other way to live. But you're not going to obey. You're not going to hear and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit if you can't first obey the voice of your new nature that says you got to stop stealing. Now I'm just picking stealing. I could pick lying. I could pick all these other things, you know. But if you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, you first got to be led by the new nature, the Spirit of Christ, that you received when you're born again. I don't know how to put it any simpler than that. You got to bow to Christ within, to the righteousness that he gave you as a free gift. You have a conscience in you now, and you know when you're disobeying. You're not going to stand before God and say, I didn't know, your conscience didn't work for me, liar. You knew that was wrong. You did it anyway. What you need to do is mortify. Mortify the deeds of the body. Lord, we can't get into that. We could, you know, teaching the born again. See, Gary, I went and looked at that Born Again Trail series you talked about. Gary, do you realize that is 60 messages? And I'm going, yes. And I've been through them multiple times, and I've got a hunger to go through them again. But if you want a, I'm telling you, there is more revelation knowledge in the first 20 minutes of Volume 1, Message 1, than you'll get in a four-year seminary in college. More truth in the first 20 minutes. Anyway, I just highly recommend The Born Again Trail by Pastor Dave Roberson. You go to daveroberson.org. On the homepage, you click on the left side where it says series, and just very early in there, you'll see The Born Again Trail, Volume 1, then Volume 2, and so forth. How many of them should I listen to? All of them. And then multiple times until it begins. And then you see that that's the knowledge, that's the input. But that's not a renewed mind, having the knowledge. A renewed mind is when you yield to the knowledge and you start mortifying the deeds of the flesh yourself. That's going to involve prayer and worship and fasting and obedience. Obedience, yes. All right. The goal, see, this is the goal of a steward of kingdom finances, to be led by the Holy Spirit rather than by the formulas of the old covenant. Now, when I say led by the Holy Spirit, you're still being led by Jesus. Again, the Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to bring you the lordship of Jesus. Jesus is what he hears. That's what he's going to speak. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's with the Holy Spirit is with the Lord in heaven. He's with you on earth. What he hears, that's what he's going to reveal to you. But you got to develop that ability. So again, I recommend the other series by Dave Roberson, Distinguishing God's Voice. Practice it. You'll get to the place where you can hear him. Now, but the goal, first, if you don't ever learn to yield to Christ within, that's the new nature. When you got born again, it comes with a conscience. Green light, red light, this is okay, this is not okay. You've got to learn to yield and obey the righteousness that comes with the new nature first. That whole process, what we call mortifying the deeds of the body. And that's step one. But as you do that, see, I don't even have time to get into this today, but see, Romans 12:1 is never going to change for you. What does Romans 12:1 say? I hope I can quote it close enough. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Okay? Probably didn't quote it exactly, but close enough. Did you notice holy and acceptable are in that verse? Plain talk. If you're not going to ever mortify the deeds of the body and present your body holy to him, it is not acceptable by him. Well, why isn't he can use you in the gifts, and he will, you know. He will. I mean, he can still use you in the gifts, but that's far as you're ever going to go. If you want to be really used of God, you're going to wind up growing up, mortifying the deeds of the body, and present your body holy, notice, and acceptable unto him. Whew. He's got some more to teach on that that he's been showing me for this coming year. And that's one of the reasons why we're switching, I think, or he's having me finish, for now at least, teaching on kingdom stewardship. But anyway, I'm getting close to the time here. Let me read this paragraph again, I'm trying to close. This is the goal of the steward of kingdom finances, to be led by the Spirit of God rather than by formulas are like commandments, like in the Old Testament. In order to develop that ability, we must no longer remain children, but grow up. The Bible doesn't use that term. It says mature. Grow up to become sons who are now ready to participate in the family business. Whew. Step one is to yield to the righteousness within the new nature. Every one of us received that when we were born again. You received the nature of Christ, and a conscience comes along with that. That is your guide regarding righteousness. This yielding to that conscience, that process mortifies the deeds of the body. Then we yield to the leadership that comes from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit within us. Now, see, once if we do that, first you mortify the deeds of the body so you can present your body holy unto him for his use. He says, oh, I've got a body now that won't prevent my child here from obeying me. Okay, in the rich young ruler's case, if the rich young ruler gets born again, listen, when you get born again, if you allow to come to maturity, it's going to put an axe to the root of the love of money. Then when the Lord says, now sell all you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. Okay, Lord, I'm a first-class servant. I'm not in this for personal profit. Whatever you say, that's what I do. See, that's the process right there. But it starts with, you got to yield to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin mortifying the, you know, it's more than just smoking and drinking and going with girls that are doing, you know, it includes all that. But listen, there's other things that the Holy Spirit wants to mortify, like greed, the love of money, loving the praise of men, lots of things, see. And you have to die to those things as well. But as you do, you grow up and you become more and more in the image of Christ, who is the ultimate son, inheritor of all, but who chooses for love's sake alone to serve the Lord. And he's not doing it for personal profit. So now that, see, once that process is complete and you become a first-class servant, you become a hand that now receives its instructions from the head. And now the head is in control of the hand. Now the head is in control of the hand, the steward. And that steward now can be trusted with wealth for the kingdom of God. Praise God. It is a change of covenant, but it's wonderful. Listen to me. You were born again to be able to hear for yourself the Lord Jesus Christ. He is speaking to you no less than he spoke to the rich young ruler, no less than he spoke to Zacchaeus, no less than he spoke to Peter and John. Jesus is alive and well, and he is speaking to us from heaven. He has your personal emails for you, if you'll allow me. Your email's going to be different than my email. Your instruction's going to be different than my instructions. But we all hear them by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if you have not listened to The Born Again Trail by Pastor Dave Roberson, please, please. And if the Lord moves on you, please help support that ministry. That's still the mothership feeding so many other ships, okay? spend time with the Holy Spirit, spend time in the Word of God, spend time, the currency, what is the price? Time. Give time to fellowship with God. You'll come to the place where you can not only hear his voice, but you'll be mortified enough to obey him, no matter what he says, because you will become that first class servant. I hope you've enjoyed these teachings. I've certainly enjoyed teaching them. We're about to enter a new year. I'm excited to see what's coming next. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.